Okay, so let me give just a background and introduction to the Mishnah. In the classical case of a malva that takes a shtar and produces it against the lova, and the shtar testifies to the fact that the lova owes the malva a sum of money, the lova can retort by saying the whole thing is a bluff, and the shtar is a mezuyof, which means it's not authentic, it's a forgery. And in order to validate his shtar in such a case against the claim of the lova, the malva is required to do what's called kiyum shtaros. That means he has to validate the signatures through a process of witnesses, of testimony, to establish that these signatures are authentic and there was no forgery. Now, there are a number of ways of doing so, but our Mishnah is focused on the following method. And that is where the Edim themselves, who are signed on the shtar, we'll call them Reuven and Shimon, who are the two witnesses signed on the shtar, they're alive and well. They come into Bezdin. They look at their signatures. Reuven looks at his signature. Shimon looks at his signature. And each one nods his head and said yes, and says, yes, that's my signature. So in that sense, we have a perfect cue to validate the signatures. Any questions so far? So far clear?
Okay. So good.
Now, our Mishnah is going to analyze the following question. Is it enough that Reuven recognizes his signature, Shimon his, or should we go one step further? Should we require that Reuven recognizes his signature, his own signature, and Shimon's signature? Vice versa, Shimon recognizes his own signature and Reuven's signature. And in that way, we gain the following. We have two witnesses testifying on each signature. Meaning, if the issue here is each signature, because the shtar stands or falls on the validation of both signatures, because you need two witnesses signed on a shtar, then in order to clarify each signature, I should require a full-blown edus, a testimony, on each signature. Now, even though Reuven obviously is in a special position, we should give him, you know, a special prize for testifying on his own signature. After all, he's saying, this is my John Hancock. But nevertheless, he still, at the end of the day, is only one witness. And if each signature is under investigation, meaning each signature now is being attacked as being a forgery, each signature now has to be evidence on each signature. Now, evidence in halacha requires two witnesses. And that would be the tremendous advantage of having both Reuven and Shimon testify both signatures. Each one testifying on his own and on his colleague's signature, we'll call him. So what this Mishnah that we're about to learn is going to do for us, it's going to present a machlokas, a debate about how to establish the shtar as valid, how to be mekayem the shtar, between Rebbe and the Chachamim. Now, what we're going to try to do here is we're going to try to answer the following questions. Number one, what is the machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim? Number two, who's the machmir and who's the mekil? And number three, is it possible that perhaps each shita is concerned about the other shita, or at least one of the two opinions is concerned about the other opposing view, and realizes that that's a logical possibility, and what we end up with is a suffix. And we don't know exactly what to do. So that's what we want to start now. And we're going to read the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Chaf Amud Beis. Okay then? Alright, Aaron, you just flew in perfect timing.
Awesome.
You missed my little spiel here, but okay, that's okay. Now we're ready for the Mishnah. So again, if you can turn to Chaf Amud Beis, and the Mishnah says the following. Ze Omer Ksav Yadi. So Reuven looks at his signature and he says, this is my signature. V'zeh k'sav yodo shel chaveru. And the other signature, says Reuven, I know it, I identify it as Shimon's signature. V'zeh omer, and Shimon says, zeh k'sav yodi, this is my signature. V'zeh k'sav yodo shel chaveri, and this is my colleague Reuven's signature. So both Reuven and Shimon are testifying not only on their own signatures, but also on the other signature. We have then two witnesses on each signature. We have Reuven and Shimon testifying on Reuven's signature. We have Reuven and Shimon testifying on Shimon's signature. Hare Elu Neman.
But it's not to Aiden.
Well, himself. Here's the point. The premise of this Mishnah is that the best testimony that you could ever have on verifying and authenticating a signature is that of the Aid himself. Mm. There could be nothing superior to that. Mm. We're going to soon see that this Mishnah that we've seen up until now is the opinion of Rebbe, and the Chachamim are going to say, you know what? It's enough that Reuven recognizes his signature. It's enough that Shimon recognizes his signature. We don't anticipate, we don't expect or demand that Reuven, when he signed the shtar together with Shimon, he looked at Shimon's signature and memorized it. And 10 years later, he can attest to the fact that, yeah, Shimon signed it. He knows his own signature. He's not required to know his friend's signature. Once he knows his own signature, that validates his signature. Because no one can do a better job in evidence and convincing Beis Din that this is an authentic signature than the aid himself who signed on it. But nevertheless, Rebbe says, let's look at each signature as a separate entity. And if the Lover, for example, is yelling and screaming that the whole thing is a forgery, it's a bluff, it's a ziyuf, and we have to take each signature now and verify it, so then our Mishnah, which now, up until this point, is reflecting the sheet of Rebbe, the Chachamim are going to disagree, maintains that we need two witnesses on each signature. So if Reuven testifies, as we said before, not only on his own signature, but on Shimon, and vice versa, now we have two witnesses on each signature.
Why do we believe someone on their own? Like where is that?
Because again, there's no one in the world, you know, once the Chachamim established Kiyum Shtaros, there's no better verification than the Eid himself. Again, the Eid himself has no vested interest here. Hmm. He's not the borrower, he's not the lender, he's not related to the borrower or the lender, he's not a Malv, he's not a Lov, he's not Krovim, he's just a witness. So, you know, in a sense, the ideal world would be, forget about the shtar, let's just get the witnesses that are signed on the shtar into Beis and let them testify if they remember the halvah. But again, we're going to get into that question a little bit later. For argument's sake, I'm just saying pedagogically, let's assume they forgot about the halvah long ago. But instead of their alvah, they can do something which is the equivalent of the signature on the shtar by testifying, this is my signature. Mm-hmm. Again, another possibility would be that they just take out a sheet of paper and sign their names in front of Beis Din and let Beis Din do the work of comparing their signature. Mm-hmm. But circumventing that, because that's going to be problematic, we don't like to put people's signatures on paper, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. Because somebody might, some uncouth, you know, person might get a hold of that piece of paper and write a whole spiel on top of it, you know, with the signature on the bottom. So if all things are equal, instead of having the again, there are three possibilities. There's one possibility of subpoenaing Reuven, who signed on the shtar, and saying, this is my signature. The other possibility is that we get Reuven into Beis Din and let him sign on a piece of paper. We'll do the comparative study. The third possibility is to have Reuven come into Beis Din and say, I remember that Levi borrowed $1,000 from Yehuda, 10 years ago, and so forth and so on. So assuming that just to make things simple, we don't want to have the aid sign on a piece of paper. That's a little too dangerous. On the other hand, we don't expect the aid to remember the details of the alva from 10 years ago. And again, we're going to discuss this in more depth in a minute. Then the best option to do is let Reuven analyze his signature, his supposed signature, and clarify for us whether he indeed signed it. And from one perspective, you could argue that his testimony is the supreme testimony. You know, that hits the Grand Slam. But Rebbe, who's the author of that Mishnah so far, later on we'll see the Chachamim, he's of the opinion that that's not sufficient. That now what's under investigation is each signature on this shtar, and if we need evidence to verify each signature, then the Torah's demand and standard for edus of evidence is two edim and not one. So that Reuven, even though he's testifying about his own signature, which should be convincing enough, says, Rebbe, no, we need someone else to testify about Reuven. And in the ideal situation, Shimon is also signed on the shtar as the co-aid of this cat of Edim. He will testify not only about his own signature, but also about Reuven's signature, and vice versa. Now we have two witnesses testifying on each signature. Says Rebbe, Harelu Neman. That means we can verify the shtar. The Malve is now in the driver's seat. He collects 1,000 from the Lova, as it says in the shtar. Then the Mishnah continues. Ze Omer, Ze Ksav Yodi. If Reuven testifies about his own signature, but in this case, he's not saying a word about Shimon's signature. Vize and Shimon Omer, Ze Ksav Yodi, I identify my signature. That's not enough. Srichim Litzarif Imoem Acher. Each one of them will have to call upon someone else from the shuk. Whenever I use that term from the shuk, I mean some third party who's not signed on the shtar. And that third party, together with Reuven, will testify and validate Reuven's signature. And the same person, we'll call him Levi, or maybe another person, we'll call him Yehuda, will testify together with Shimon to verify Shimon's signature. And the bottom line is Divrei Revi. Revi insists that we need two witnesses to clarify and validate each signature. So again, if I could just give you a quiz question. What, according to Revi, would serve as a validation of each signature? One aid or two aid? What's the answer?
Two
aid. Okay, do we have it, Clark? Rabos, are you with me on this? According to Rebbe, if you want to write it down, I don't have a blackboard, we need two witnesses to verify and authenticate each one of the signatures. And the easiest way of getting that is if both Reuven and Shimon would testify not only about their own signatures, but reciprocally about the other one's signatures, because then we have two witnesses on each signature. Now, if Shimon admits, I can't swear on a stack of Bibles that that's Reuven's signature, and Reuven says the same about Shimon's signature, then we have to bring someone min Ashuk. And again, it could be that one person recognizes both Reuven and Shimon's signature, or maybe more likely, he'll recognize Reuven's signature, link up with Reuven as two edim on Reuven, and then we'll have another guy from the Shuk, we'll call him Yehuda, he'll link up with Shimon to testify as the second aid on Shimon's signature. That's all according to whom? Revi. V'chachomim omrim. But the Chachamim say, "Einam tzrichim litzarif imam acher." We don't need a second witness on each signature. Ella, but rather, neman adam lomar zek sav yodi. Each one of these two edim is believed to testify and authenticate his own signature. So Reuven authenticates his signature. He knows beans about Shimon's signature. Shimon validates his signature, and everything is hunky-dory. The shtar is makru. So if I ask you the following question, who is the mekil and who is the machmir? Correct. Rebbe is the machmir, and Chacham is the mekil. Rebbe requires a higher standard, two edim on each signature. Chachamim say no. If each aid testifies and verifies his own signature, that's fine. Now again, keep in mind, the Chachamim will have to agree to Rebbe that if Reuven and Shimon are out of the picture, they're in, you know, on a slow boat to China, or, well, nowadays, you know, I think our Prime Minister is about to land from China, so it's not that far. But, and then I was going to say Vietnam, but that's not far either, because the President is in Vietnam, but, you know, the globe has become shrunk. Over there. But let's say Reuven died. Lo Olim. Okay, halach lo lomo. We'll make it simple. He was an old man. He hit his 120th birthday and he died. Okay, Shimon died. So now, even the Chachamim will agree that we need two witnesses to verify each one of the signatures. The only reason the Chachamim were mekil in our Mishnah is because Reuven is testifying about his signature, and that's the ultimate paramount evidence, according to the Chachamim, and Shimon about his signature. But if it's someone bin Ashuk, then he only becomes and can only serve as one witness. In this case, even the Chacham are going to require two witnesses on each signature. Okay. Now, our next project for tonight is to try to analyze the machlokas here between Rebbe and the Chacham. Why is it that Rebbe insists, l'chumra, that there be two witnesses on each signature, and the Chacham say, no, it's enough that Reuven recognizes his signature, Shimon his, and Shalom al Yisrael. So again, I wish I had a blackboard here, but if anybody wants to take notes, you know, and write this down, I have an extra pen here. Don't all volunteer at one time, okay? We're going to have two phrases here. You know, we can split it, sort of split the board in half. On one side, on one column, we're going to have Almana Shebishtar, who made, if you could write that down, Almana Shebishtar, who made. And on the other side of the board, we're going to write Al-Ksav Yadam, who made. And let's understand. First, we'll start with Mana Shebishtar. And what I'm going to ask you to do is to figure out which Svara, this is like a matching question, which Svara relates to which of the two Shitos, Rebbe and the Chacham. And one Svara goes as follows. The testimony here is essentially on the Mana Shebishtar. Mana is another word for 100 zuz, which is a pretty significant amount of money, considering you could buy a goat for 2 zuz, right? And that means that when Reuven comes into Beis Din, you think that he's validating his own signature, which he is. I'm not denying that. But that's a superficial perspective. On a more penetrating perspective, more profound way of looking at it in the world of Lavdus, he, Reuven, is testifying on the Mana Shebishtar. And what he, in a sense, essentially is telling us is that Shimon, well, I don't want to use the same names over and over again because we get confused between the Edom and the Malva and the Lova, but that the Lova owes the Malva the 100 zuz, the Mana Shebishtar. Now again, I haven't raised the big question over here. Does Reuven actually remember the halva, the loan? Does he remember all the details that on such a date, you know, the lova borrowed 100 zuz from the malva and so forth and so on? I don't know. You know, if this halva took place 30 days ago, then there's a damn good chance that he'll remember. But if it took place 10 years ago, I have my doubts as to whether he remembers. You remember the sugi that we did last week in which we said that Aiden might remember their testimony even more than 60 years later. Although with regard to Kvarim, we don't apply that rule, but Aiden's where he's obligated to testify, he remembers his Aiden's. So again, Almana Shebishtar means that the way we receive this Aiden's of Zek Sav Yadi is basically, essentially, testimony on the Halva itself. Is that crystal clear? The other way of learning it is al ksav yadam me'idim, that they're not testifying, they don't remember beans about the case and the halva and what he borrowed and who borrowed from whom or whatever. They don't know nothing. They've long forgotten. It's dead and buried. What they can testify on is their signature. That's called al ksav yadam he me'idim. Now here's your job. I'm throwing the ball into your court. Can you tell me in the Machlok Shin Rebbe and the Chachamim who holds what? You know, in a matching question of this sort, you have a 50% chance of getting the right answer.
The Mana is Rebbe, and the Hemeidim is.
And let me add that you have a 50% chance of getting the wrong answer. That he forgot about, Aaron. Again, if each one of these two gentlemen, Reuven on his signature and Shimon on his signature, is testifying on the Mana Shebishtar, do they need another witness to join them?
Yes.
Absolutely not.
No.
Because, for sure not. Because Reuven is testifying on the Mana Shebishtar, Shimon is testifying on the Mana Shebishtar. We now have two witnesses on the Mana Shebishtar. and therefore the Lov has to pay up the Malva. If, on the other hand, I say, forget about the Moneh Shev Shtar, Reuven and Shimon have long forgotten that headache, that nightmare of the Moneh Shev Shtar. What they know about is just to verify their signatures. If they're testifying only on their signatures, I need evidence to verify each signature. How many Eidim does the Torah require, the Torah standard, for evidence? And the answer is nothing less than two witnesses. So Rebbe, who says l'chumra, that I need two witnesses. It's not enough that Reuven recognizes his signature. He needs another guy, we'll call him Levi, to introduce Levi, and Levi recognizes Reuven's signature. Now we have two Eidim on that signature. The same with regard to Shimon's signature. Rebbe is holding al ksav yadam heme'idim. They don't have any connection. They're disconnected from the halva. But the Chachamim say no. Al Moneh Shev Shtar Hei Me'idim. They're effectually testifying on the halva itself. And if that be the case, then we have two witnesses, Reuven and Shimon, testifying on the halva, that they together form a perfect unit of Eidus that would force the Lova to have to pay up to the Malva. Now, we have two questions to ask. And they're really two parts of one question. If the Chachamim are right that we can be Mekil here because Reuven and Shimon are testifying on the Halva, Al Moneh Shev Shtar Hei Me'idim, again, if you had it on the blackboard, it would be easier to remember, then I have a question to ask. Do Reuven and Shimon actually remember the Halva? If it was 30 days ago, maybe yes, but if it was 10 years ago or 60 years ago, maybe no. And if the answer is that we investigate, we interrogate each one of these two Eidim, Reuven and Shimon, and they both say, yeah, I remember the Halva perfectly, as if it happened today, then I don't understand the sheet of Rebbe. Because Rebbe says that it's not enough that Reuven testifies on his signature and Shimon on his. I need two witnesses on each signature. Why do I need two witnesses on each signature if both Eidim remember the case and they can testify on the original halva? We don't even need the shtar. Just simply bypass the shtar, put the shtar in deep freeze, assuming it's not vomit stick, right? And all you need is two witnesses on halva. Vos is schlecht, as we say in Yiddish. What's bad about that? Two witnesses on halva. So in other words, I'm caught in a bind here. Either I don't understand Chachamim here, or I don't understand Rebbe. I don't understand Chachamim because who told you that the Eidim remember the facts of the case, the halva? And if, in order to make sense out of the Chachamim, I have to insist that the Eidim remember the case, then I don't understand Rebbe. Why does Rebbe require two witnesses on each signature? If Reuven testifies that I remember the halva, Shimon that I remember the halva, let's just join them together and they form a valid pair of Eidus on the halva. You with me so far?
Yeah.
Not too much. I see. There's, Aaron, you're just...
I'm having a hard time accepting that in the case of Rebbe, where they're testifying on the signatures,
yeah,
that you can count as your own aid, because that concept doesn't exist. When you need two aiding for something, they have to be external to you.
But that's only because you're no gay of the aidus, meaning you're testifying about yourself. The case here is about is about the Malva and the Lova. You're not testifying as an aid about yourself. You're testifying
an aid about the signature.
No, but again, since that signature is only relevant to the halva, we're not interested in signatures. You know, Besdin is not going to waste their time, you know, verifying signatures. This is not a class in graphology, I think, if I got that word right. This is all about the malva and the lova. The malva produces a shtar against the lova, claiming 100 zoos. The lova says the whole thing is a bluff, it's a forgery. And we have to figure out if the Eidim signed on the shtar really signed on the shtar. The Eidim are not testifying on themselves. When do we say that a person can't testify on himself? That's because he has negios. That means he's relevant. The case itself is relevant to him. Here, the case is not relevant to him. You know, he's testifying on behalf of the Malva.
Okay, so I might have an answer.
Okay.
Basically, because it says in the beginning of the Mishnah, "Zomer ketav yadi v'zeh ketav yado shel chaveri." So that's saying that he remembers his signature. He remembers his friend's signature as well. Which means that's considered as two Eidim for the Moneh Shtar as well.
But even if he forgot?
If he doesn't remember? If he forgets, yeah. The next part says that I wrote this, and he doesn't mention anything about the second aid, which means that if he didn't remember the aid, how would he remember the whole situation?
So you want to say the following. Okay, I'll say over what Sammy says, even though I disagree with him vehemently, but still, you know, we're honest people here, so we got to say it in B'Shem Omro. He's saying that there's a difference between the Reisha and the Seif. In the Reisha, Reuven testifies not only on his own signature, but also on Shimon's signature. In that case, we assume, you correct me if I'm not saying it over the way you wanted to say it, that both Reuven and Shimon testifying reciprocally remember the case. But if Reuven can only testify on his signature and he has no way of recognizing the signature of Shimon, then he's not testifying on the case itself. I'll tell you why I don't buy into that, because let's just ask the Eidim one basic question. And I think we're obligated to do so. Beis Din is obligated to do so. Do you remember the facts of the case?
No, so if you...
I don't think we can guess about this, you know.
If he wouldn't remember the other witness that was with him, then how would he remember?
Well, wait a second, Sammy. He may very well remember the other witness, but he doesn't recognize his signature. In other words, we testified in the past together, but can I promise you, can I swear in a stack of Bibles that this is his signature? Because let's be honest about it, Sammy. If you and I would testify in a shtar and both attach our signatures, what are the chances that you could recognize my signature 10 years from now? I'm not even sure that you know, it's hard enough for a person to recognize his own signature. You know, signatures do change over the course of time, especially in young people. But let's say you could recognize your own signature. You've signed it 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times, you could certainly recognize. But on one occasion, you signed the shtar together with me. Therefore, from henceforth, for the end of time, you recognize my signature. I wouldn't hold it against anybody if he can recognize his own, but not his friend's signature. I wouldn't fault him for that.
Why did they use a thumbprint in the release?
Boy, I don't know if I'm ready for that, Brian. That question. Maybe you know, a week from now I can answer that question when I'm on Ben Azman. But now, you know, now I can't answer that question. Okay. So what happens now? Do they know about the case or do they not know about the case? So here I want to share with you the Tosus Rid. The Tosus Rid says that if you look carefully at Rashi. Rashi says the following. Rashi says, "L'divrei Chachamim." You have it. It's the second line down, on the top of Daf Chaf Aleph Omen Aleph. "L'divrei Chachamim Almana Shebishtar He Meidim." Says Rashi, "Anachnu Ra'inu Amilve V'Chasamnu." How do you think the Tosus Rid will interpret those four words? Anachnu ra'inu hamilve v'chasamnu. Can you guess? How would you interpret those words?
Can you repeat that one time?
When you say repeat it, it's right there in front of you. Do you see the Rashi? It's the Rashi starts on the second line, but that's just quoting the Mishnah. And then he says, Anachnu ra'inu amilve v'chasamnu. Are there any words here that Rashi could have just completely omitted that are totally superfluous?
Ra'inu?
Yeah, he could have left out this whole ra'inu bit. He could have just said anachnu chasamnu. Says the Tosus Rid, from the fact that Rashi adds this ra'inu hamilve, we must deduce the following conclusion, that the Eidim remember the case. Ra'inu amilva. And we can interrogate them, and they will withstand all the questions that we throw in their direction, because they remember the case, and they know the facts about the halva. Says the Tosus Rid, now the Chachamim makes sense, because if each witness remembers the halva, then we can join them together and form a pair of Aiden. But Rebbe doesn't make any sense. Says Rebbe, you don't gain a thing by combining these Aiden together. Why? Because that becomes a milva balpe. Right, there are two categories of a loan. There's one, a milva balpe. Let's say I borrow money from you and we don't write anything down. And then there's a milv b'shtar. Now, the advantage of a milv b'shtar is that if I borrow money from you and I give you a shtar to testify against me, I'm not believed to say I paid you up. Alternatively, if it's a milv b'shtar, if I owe you $1,000 and I don't have the wherewithal to pay you back, you can collect not only from any possessions of mine, but even possessions that I sold to someone else. That's called a shibud or a lien, L-I-E-N. And all this is applicable only in the case of a milv b'shtar. So that now, when the malva produces the shtar against the lova, if the lover says, okay, but I paid you back already, the malva says, but I'm holding on to the shtar. As long as I have possession of the shtar, you're not believed to say, parati, I paid up the chob. Now, if the two witnesses are telling us, I remember, each one says, I remember the loan, that makes it into a milva. Anybody guess? You have two choices, again, 50-50. It's either milv al peh or milv b'shtar. Again, listen carefully. If each one of the two eggs, because again, as I mentioned, Max, before, there's a 50% chance that you get the wrong answer. And nobody seems to be playing this Russian roulette well tonight, and it's probably my fault, but that's what's happening. Again, if each of the witnesses says that I remember the case, what kind of milv does that produce? That's a milv al peh. Says Revi, Chachamim, with all due respect, you're wonderful here that each one of these two Edom remembers the case and you want to join them together as a cat, but that doesn't produce a shtar. Says Revi, we need testimony on the signatures of the shtar, not on the halva. Once we have the shtar itself talks on its own, it has a big fat mouth and it blabs about the halva. I need to verify the shtar, because if I don't verify the shtar, I have a milv bal peh but not a milv shtar. Says the Tosus Rin, that's where Rebbe comes in, and he insists, Al Ksav Yodom Heim Me'idim. They're testifying, and we need testimony, on the signatures. Because if we don't testify on the signatures, we cannot validate the shtar, and give the malva the power of credibility of a milv b'shtar. We can again clarify that 10 years ago, this guy borrowed money from this guy, but that's only a milv bal peh, and you can say, well, in the last 10 years, I paid you back. Mm. So that's the Tosus Rit.
Even though they got a shtar.
Again, they got a shtar, but the question is, we have to validate the shtar. To validate the shtar, it's not enough to validate the halva that took place 1,000 years ago. That doesn't do me anything, because then the lova could say, I paid you up. What I need is to validate the shtar. Says Rebbe, to validate the shtar, I got to look at each signature and, you know, investigate it to the light of evidence. And evidence means two edim, and therefore I need two witnesses testifying on each chasima, on each signature. That's Rebbe. So that Rebbe is saying, you know, it's all wunderbar that, you know, that according to Chachamim, well, these two edim come in, Reuben and Shimon, they remember the case. We're not trying to clarify the case. We don't need evidence about the case. The shtar will supply the evidence of the case. We need evidence about the shtar. If we need evidence on the shtar, we need absolute evidence, which means the clarity of two witnesses. Nothing less will do on each one of the signatures. And therefore, Rebbe Lechumra requires two witnesses on each signature. Ad kan Tosus Rit. Now, who steps up to the plate? Rabbeinu Yonah. Now, how do I have access to Rabbeinu Yonah? The Masifta here, the footnote, quotes the Shittim and Kubetzes, who quotes the Talmidim, who quote Rabbeinu Yonah. So it's a real Chad Gadji here. And Rabbeinu Yonah says the following, that Ha'edim Omrim Ksav Yadeinu Huzeh Bilvat. All the Edim say is, this is our signature. Avolim Omru Ha'edim Roes Amaisalva Gam Revi Modil Chachomim Sha'almonesh Bishtar He Me'idim. Whereas the Tosus Rin says that the very machlokas between Revi and the Chachomim is about this case where Rashi says Ra'inu Es Hamilve, comes along Rabbi Yon and he says, nay, if it was Ra'inu Es Hamilve, if that's what the Edim are saying, then even Revi says that each aid respectively can testify and validate his own signature, and the shtar is valid. Mm. And on that there's no machlokas. Meaning, in the case, in the scenario which according to Tosfos Rid is machlokas, Rabbi Chachonim, Rabbi Yon insists that there is no machlokas in that case. Because in that case, even Rebbe would accept the Chachamim that one aid on each signature, meaning Reuven on his and Shimon on his, is sufficient, because Reuven and Shimon both remember the case. And the Machlokas, therefore, is in a case where the only words that came out of the mouths of the Eidim, respectively, was Ksav Yadenu, who's that we can testify on Ksav Yadenu. They say nothing about the Halva. And what it really means, Rabbi Osai, is Rabbi Yonah is pressing for a very fundamental breakthrough here, which I find extremely difficult to digest, very tenuous, that when an aide testifies that I remember the halva, that automatically validates the shtar. In other words, Rabbi Yonah is bridging a gap, and I don't know how he succeeds in doing this, between milvah bal peh and milvah b'shtar. Once these Eidim, who are signed on the shtar, can testify about the halva, that itself, ipso facto, validates the shtar. And why? The logic is with the Tosfos Rid, that if the Eidim are only clarifying the halva, that's a milvah bal peh. What gives the Rabbi Yonah the right to make that jump? I remember when I was in London once, you know, and I got on a train, they say, please mind the gap. I don't know if they still have that. It's a recording. And there's a major gap over here in Rabbi Yonah's thinking. He's saying that since the Eidim remember the case, that becomes a milvah b'shtar. Well, why is that so? At the end of the day, they're testifying about the halva. That doesn't make it into a milvah b'shtar. Somehow, Rabbi Yonah is adding two factors together and churning them out, you know, and combining them. That number one, the Eidim remember the halva. Number two, they are signed on the shtar, and that creates a milvah b'shtar. Therefore, says Rabbi Yonah, the only time that Rebbe will argue against the Chacham, requiring two witnesses on each signature, is only if we can get from the Eidim nothing more than Ksav Yadenu, who's there, without mentioning anything about the Halva. So I'm just going to put my head down for a minute and see if I can come up with anything. I don't know.
An explanation for him?
Yeah. Brian, if you're going out, can you do me a big, gigantic favor? There's nothing I hate more than cold tea. If you could somehow heat it up or something. You have to spill some of it out and add hot water or put it in the microwave.
It doesn't.
Wait, just give me 1 minute there, and I'm sorry. I'm almost ready to throw in the towel, but I just want to give it one more try. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, it doesn't sound so far-fetched.
Yeah, why?
If we go back a few cases where we decided that we really didn't need any ADM in the case, that we could find two signed, verified documents, because what are the chances that two separate signed documents could be forged?
We never said such a thing. I'm denying it.
Well,
what we said was that if you have two signed documents with the same signatures, and one of the two was verified in Beis Din and has a henpeck on it,
right?
So it was subjected to what we call kiyum shtaris, and it passed with flying colors, then we can do a comparative. But it's not just that, well, we found the same signature on two shtaris. The same forgerer could forge a million shtaris. We have to get at least one shtar in the world that was subject to the scrutiny of Beis Din and passed with flying colors. Beis Din attaches what's called a henpeg.
Right.
And now it becomes a magical shtar, a superman shtar, superstar we'll call it, and that superstar could be used to verify a million other stars.
Right. So here
I just want to make sure we're on the same page.
So here in our scenario, right?
That's good.
So if we accept their edus that the actual halva happened, then the question is this shtar a forgery or not a forgery?
That's what I want to say.
And therefore, what are the chances that there's Eidus and a forgery on the same thing?
That's what I want to say.
From there.
To say that these two Eidim remember that specific halva,
and there happens to be a...
and they themselves happen to sign on the shtar, and it was a forgery, that doesn't make any sense.
Right.
So basically, Rabbi Yonah is bridging this gap with a statistical analysis in which he's coming up with the following premise. It's ridiculous, it's ludicrous to suspect that the two Edim who could tell you word for word and testify exactly what happened in the Shtar about that halva, that their signatures were forged. So we have absolute clarity, therefore, that they indeed signed the Shtar, and by verifying their signatures, we can upgrade this halva to the level of halva b'shtar, milv b'shtar. So now let's, you know, we've been talking a lot, as we say in Yiddish, eisavenik, which means outside. Now let's see it inside. The Gemara says the following: kishetimtze lomar. Okay, now that's a phrase which is very, you know, it's a very common phrase in Chazal, in Shas, and it means the following: that if there's a machlokes, then kishetimtze lomar means that when you investigate the machlokes and analyze it, here's what you'll come up with as far as the root of the machlokas. If you want to get in every debate, there has to be a reason why he said this and he said the opposite. Kishetimtze lomar is an introductory phrase. This is the way you have to understand the root of the machlokas. L'divrei Rebbe, according to Rebbe, and now we're on the top of Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, al ksav yodam hei me'idim. We have to verify with absolute evidence each one of the signatures. Ksav yodam means the signatures, and therefore we need two witnesses on each signature. L'divrei Chachamim, al monashe b'shtar hei me'idim, that they're testifying on the halva, and therefore, since Reuven remembers the halva, Shimon remembers the halva, we can put them together and form a valid kat of Edim. And again, we have to bridge the gap over to a mil of Shabbashtar, and that we do because of the statistical consideration. Now, when the Gemara uses that term, Kishetimtze Lomar, and analyzes the machlokas and the root of the debate, it implies a chidush. Meaning, I worked very hard, I plummeted the depths of the Talmudic dialectic, and I came up with this interpretation. The Gemara is not happy with that. Pshita. Is there any other way of interpreting the machlokas between Rebbe and the Chacham? Because when you use the word Kishetimtze Lomar, you're going to say, it's almost as if you say, look, if you do a superficial analysis, you'll come to the wrong conclusion. But I'm going to give you the real McCoy, you know, the real in-depth analysis, and this is what it is. So the Gemara says, in this case, I don't see any other possibility over here. Why would Rebbe require two Edim on each signature, and Chachamim say that one Ed, meaning the Ed himself on each of his, on respectively on his own signature, in both cases, is enough? It must be, logically, that Rebbe holds that we need testimony on the signatures, whereas the Chachamim say, no, the testimony is essentially on the halva itself. And if it's on the halva itself, each one of these two Edim is testifying on the halva, we can put them together and form a kat of Edim. So what would we have thought without the Kishetimtze Lomar? That's the Gemara's question. What's the Pshita? What's the answer to my question, Pshita? Is there another alternative? Mal de Tema, says the Gemara, I might have thought that L'Rebbe Sapuke Misafkale. Rebbe was never convinced in an absolute way of his Shita. He vacillated. You know, sometimes if we have a debate, I say you're absolutely wrong, you say I'm absolutely wrong, and that's how it stands, and we'll fight it out till death, till doomsday. But sometimes, in a really good debate, if each one is honest, so one guy says, you know what? You managed to convince me that I'm not 100% sure anymore. You put a dent in my understanding. That's called Rebbe Mesupe Ksapkale. Rebbe vacillated. He wasn't absolutely certain. He thought, you know what? Maybe the Chachamim have a certain tinge of truth to it. I'm a little bit convinced that maybe they're right. I'm persuaded, I should say, not convinced. And maybe, you know what? Al-Manashe B'Shtar Hei Me'idim. So why did Rebbe say in that case that you need two Einim on each signature? If it's Almanah Shebishtar, we came to the conclusion that it's enough that Reuven attests to the validity of his signature and Shimon to his. And the answer is, even though I'm vacillating E al Ksav Yodim Eidim or Almanah Shebishtar Eidim, I don't know which of the two is actually correct, but nevertheless, in such a case, I have to go L'chumrah. What do I mean, L'chumrah? After all, the Malva is holding on to the Shtar. The Lova is claiming that the Shtar is a forgery. Rebbe says, I have to take the more strict view before I allow the Malva to squeeze the Lova for every last Zuz that he owns in his bank account to collect 100 Zuz, which is a massive amount of money. I want to be absolutely certain, and therefore I'm going to require two witnesses for each signature. And why am I doing so? Because I don't know if it's really I'll ksav yodim hei me'idim and I really, really need two witnesses on each signature, or maybe it's al manash b'shtar hei me'idim, I don't need two witnesses on each signature, but go on, when in doubt, take the safe highway, and make sure that this cube is 100%. And no one's going to have doubts about the validity of the Qiyum. In order to remove myself from any shadow of a doubt, I'm not going to rely on one aid, meaning Reuven, on his signature, and one aid, meaning Shimon, on his. I'm going to require two witnesses on each signature. Now what the Gemara is going to do is, the Gemara is going to say the following. And let's say that that's correct. Maybe Rebbe was not totally convinced. Maybe Rebbe's requirement, to jack up the standards requiring two Eidim L'chumrah on each signature, maybe that was only a Chumrah because he was Mesupak. He wasn't convinced that Almanah Shebishtar Hei Me'idim. What would be so terrible if Eino Chinami? Rebbe was only saying it as a Sofek. So the Gemara says that there's a tremendous difference. Why? Nafgemina Hecha demes chad minayim is liboy shnayim and ashuk lehoid olav diem kain konofik nechi riva demomona afuma de chad sahad vehochel chumra vehochel chumra. Okay, I read a whole bunch of lines there in the Gemara. I don't know how much of it you caught. Did anybody follow that Gemara?
Not at the end.
I didn't expect you to. It's not only heavy Aramaic, but it's also very, very heavy logic. The Gemara wants to know what happens if Reuven and Shimon, whose signatures appear on the Shtar, cannot both come into Beis Din, each one testifying about his own signature, because of the following reason: Reuven's dead. So now what happens is the following. Shimon is alive and well. Shimon could testify on his own signature. Let's analyze this from the perspective of the Chacham. The Chachamim say, Amon Hashem B'Shtar Hei Me'idim. Okay? Now, when Shimon, the surviving aid, testifies on his own signature, and we apply the principle of the Chachomim Amonah Shebishtar Hei Me'idim, so what percentage of the Eidus do we have now on this Malv and Lov?
50%.
Now, Shimon wants to testify on Reuven's signature. Now, add to that a second aid, right? Because again, the special credibility of one aid is because he's testifying in his own signature. When Shimon testifies on Reuven's signature, he has no special status. He's got the same status as Levi. So now Shimon, together with Levi, testify on the late Reuven signature. How much of the aidus is now being added to Shimon?
25.
Exactly, 25%. If you add 50 to 25, you get 75%. That's called Nechi Revia in the Lashon HaShas. Nechi means subtract a quarter. In Aramaic, that's how you say 75%. Three quarters is called Nechi Revia. The Torah says, Al Pishnayim Eidim Yokum Dovni. And that means that both Edom have to be equal. We don't tolerate lopsided Edoms, where one Ed is testifying on three quarters of the money, that's being contested. Therefore, what's going to have to happen is that if Reuven dies, Shimon will testify about his own signature, but he can't say a word, mum's the word, as far as Reuven's signatures were. Because as soon as Shimon testifies about Reuven's signature, he has crossed the bounds of the 50%. And that we can't tolerate. So now we're going to need Levi and Yehuda, two people from the Shuk, to testify and validate Reuven's signature. If that be the case, then Rabosai, we said before at the outset that the Chachomim of Rebbe were the Mekilim. Why were they made the Mekilim? Because all you need is one on each signature, right? Reuven on his and Shimon on his, whereas Rebbe requires two on each signature. Now I'm going to tell you that on the contrary, the Chachomim are going to be Machmir. Because in order to validate Reuven's signature, the late Reuven, we're going to need two witnesses from the Shuk, and Shimon himself will not be able to function as an aid amongst the two to verify the signature of Reuven. Masha Ein Kein, if on the other hand I accept the Shita of Revi, that is Al Ksav Yodam Hemeidim, which means that we need evidence on each one of the two signatures, then Shimon can testify about his signature, and that's okay. And Shimon can now testify about Reuven's signature, and that's okay. And we'll only need on the late Reuven's signature one other aid. According to Chachamim, we're going to need two witnesses to testify about Reuven's signature. Because, again, if we allow Shimon to testify about Reuven's signature, we're going up to 75%. And that we can't tolerate. According to Rebbe, on the other hand, Shimon can testify not only on his own signature, but he's going to testify on Reuven's signature as well. So paradoxically, it comes out that Rebbe is the Mekil and Chachamim on the Machmir, meaning it goes like this. If both Edom are alive and well, then the Chachamim are being Mekil and Rebbe is being Machmir, because the Chachamim say that Reuven can testify about his signature, and Shimon about his. We don't need another aid. Rebbe requires two Edom on each signature. But if one of the Edom is dead, then all of a sudden we turn the apple cart in the other direction. Rebbe becomes the Mekil and the Chachamim become the Machmir, because now the Chachamim are going to say that we cannot tolerate Shimon's testimony on Reuven's signature, because that would make him 75%. And therefore, we're going to need two Edom and Ashuk to testify about Reuven's signature. Rebbe, on the other hand, sees that each one of these signatures is a separate entity, requiring evidence and testimony to validate each signature. There basically are two Edios here, according to Rebbe. There's one Edos on this signature of Shimon, and there's one on Reuven's signature. Shimon could play a dual capacity. He can play a dual role, testifying about his own signature and also being 50% of the testimony on Reuven's signature. Now, in order to achieve this goal of making Rebbe into a Mekil in the scenario where Reuven died, what we're going to need to do is establish that Rebbe was totally convinced about his Shita, that Al Ksav Yodam Hemeidim. Because if Rebbe was vacillating back and forth and he was very misupak about it, and therefore he always had in mind the Shita of the Chacham, that maybe they're, you know, he was partially persuaded that maybe they're correct, that Al Manash Abishtare Me'idim, then Rebbe would not allow himself the luxury of being Mekil when Reuven dies and accepting the testimony of Shimon about the signature of Reuven. Because if Amonish Abishtare Me'idim, if you're accepting Shimon's testimony not only about his own signature but also about Reuven's signature, then he becomes three quarters of the angels. So therefore, the Gemara's Kishetimtze Lomar, in which the Gemara is holding fast you know, steady to the position that Rebbe is absolutely convinced, Bitoris Vaday, that Al Ksav Yodim Eid Me'idim, now Rebbe could be Mekil in a case where one of the two Eidim die. And that's what I want to read into the Gemara now, which we read very quickly, and to see it in the words of the Gemara. The Gemara says the following, Nafgemina Hecha Demes Chadminayim. If one of the two witnesses signed in the Shah died, Liboy Shnayim Minashuk Lahoid Olaf. We need two Shuk witnesses to testify about that deceased aide's signature. Why? Diem came, because if you can allow the live witness to testify about the dead witness's signature, Kanafik, you are removing from the Lover, meaning Nachi Revia, 3/4 the Mamona of the Mamon Apume de Chadsada, on the basis of the testimony of one witness, because Shimon is testifying on his own, on his own signature, which according to the Chachamim is an automatic verification of his own signature. Now he's going to join with Levi to testify Reuven's signature, add to that now another 25%, he's 75% of the testament. And that cannot be accepted. And therefore the Gemara says, Hachal l'chumra, the Hachal l'chumra. If Rebbe had a doubt about it, he would have to take both chumras of the Chachamim. I mean to say, he would have to take his own chumra b'safek, namely that al ksav yodim he me'idim, which would require two witnesses on each signature. That means when they're both alive. And hachal chumra, meaning he'd have to be machmir in the case where one of the two signatories died, to require two eidim min hashuk on that signature, because he cannot allow the live aid to testify not only about his own signature, but also about the signature of the dead witness, because that would make it into 3/4 the aids. Kamash malan. That's what the Gemara wanted to tell us with the Kishatimtsi Lomar, the Rebbe Nifshat Pshitale, meaning the Rebbe was absolutely convinced that Al Ksav Yodim He Me'idim, Bein Lekula Ubein Lechumra. Let's start backwards. Bein Lechumra, in the case where both Eidim are alive, Al Ksav Yodim He Me'idim, we require two witnesses on each signature. Ubein Lekula, if one of the two witnesses has died, we can be Mekil and allow the live witness, the surviving witness, that's Shimon we called him, to testify not only on his own signature, but also on the signature of Reuven, the deceased. Because now there are two separate adios, and in each case he's playing the role of 50%. You see, that's the kunz here. You have to keep this in mind. We never really spelled this out. I want to make sure it's crystal clear. According to the Chachamim, Amonish HaBashtar HaMe'idim, there's only one testimony here, and that's on the Amonish HaBashtar. We're linking and joining together Reuven and Shimon on the Amonish HaBashtar. According to Rebbe on the Al Ksav Yodim HaMe'idim, each signature is a victim of analysis, of a subject, is subject to investigation, and there are basically two different adios going on. We're going to acquire one pair of adim on Reuven's signature and another on Shimon's. And therefore, even if Shimon would play a role in both, he's only 50% in each Avis. He's 50% of the clarification on one signature and 50 on the other. Now the Gemara says the following. The Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav, I want to give you a proof from a statement of Rav that Rebbe was willing to be Mekil, meaning he was totally convinced that Al Ksav Yodim HaMe'idim, Shnayim HaChasum Al Shtar Umeis Echad Mehem, if one of the two signatures died, Tzrichim Shnayim and Ashuk Lahoid Olav, we're going to need two witnesses to testify and validate the Chasima of the deceased witness, Ubezu Rebbe Lekula V'Rabbanan Lechumra. And in this scenario, Dafka Rebbe would say we don't need two witnesses from the Shuk, and Shimon could link up with one witness from the Shuk to testify and validate the signature of the late Reuven. So now the Gemara is bothered by the following. Ve'i lekatre. Let's go according to the Chachamim. According to the Chachamim, if one of the two witnesses signed on the shtar is dead, we're going to need to bring two witnesses from the shuk to clarify and validate his signature. Gemara says that's very hard to accomplish. You're not going to allow Shimon to testify on Reuven, the late Reuven's signature. You're going to need two other Edom, Yehuda and Levi. Go find two Edom. You're putting the Malv into a very precarious situation. After all, we have Levi who's testifying about Reuven's signature. We have Shimon who's testifying about Reuven's signature. And yet you're throwing it out. Why? Because now Shimon has overstepped his bounds. But tell me the honest truth. Do you really doubt the veracity of the shtar, the authenticity of the shtar? Are you really telling me that you think it's a forgery? I mean, at the end of the day, you do have two witnesses on each signature. Narvas, you have a technical problem over here because Shimon is overstepping his bounds. He's taking 75% of the Eidos. Now, as a result, you're telling Mr. Malva, forget about collecting your alpha. I lent this guy, this bum, 100 zuz, the equivalent of 100,000 shekel. And he's going to get off the hook by telling me that this is a forgery, this shtar is not authentic. And why? Because I can't find two witnesses on the face of the earth who recognize Reuven's signature, the late Reuven's signature. I found one witness. I got Shimon who's testifying. No. The Gemara is pained by this. The Gemara thinks that on an ethical level, we've done a disjustice to the Malv. It's lopsided. In truth, we have absolute evidence and we're totally convinced that this shtar is valid. But there's a technical foul. On a technical ground, with a legal, what's the word I'm looking for?
A loophole
or a legal requirement, I'm looking for the word that I'm not finding, there's a technical reason why the Malva cannot use this shtar. And that's because Nebuch Reuven died, and we can't find two witnesses from the Shuk who can testify and attest to the fact that this is Reuven's signature. You have one person from the Shuk. That itself is a great achievement. You've got Shimon testifying that I know that this is Reuven's signature. Not good enough.
They're worried about the shtar itself, not the signatures necessarily. The reason that they're putting testimony on the signatures in order for the shtar itself, like you said before, was the
The Lova says it's
mezuzah.
Right, Amonishab Shtar in the Edom, and therefore if Shimon testifies on Reuven's signature, he's playing a super duper role here for 75%. On that technical foul, we have to throw this shtar out of court. Malva loses 100 shekel, 100 zuz.
Could they find someone else to, I guess, testify on the shtar itself, aside from the...
Well, to testify on the shtar means to testify on and validate the signatures. So they have somebody else. Levi comes in and he says, that is Reuven's signature. Yeah. But they don't have Yehuda to link up with Levi. They have Shimon, who's unfortunately playing a 75% role, so we can't use him. And we don't have Yehuda, we only have Levi. We only have one aide to testify. What do? The Malva is out 100 zuz? I mean, that's not fair.
Could that extra witness be the witness for Shimon and Shimon?
Wait, extra witness, if you don't mind giving me his name. Okay. I called him Levi.
Okay, fine. Levi could be the witness for both Shimon and Reuven. And then Shimon could be the witness for Reuven, and then...
Wait one second. If Levi is the witness for both Shimon and Shimon... Wait, just 1 minute. I'm digesting. We're talking about the Chachamim Shita. Wait a second. According to Chachamim Shita, Levi can't testify on Shimon's signature because Shimon's signature has already been validated. Because Shimon recognizes his own signature. And that's called Amon Hashem Shtar Hemi.
So you wouldn't need a second one for Shimon.
So that's
anyway.
Completely superfluous. I mean, Bezin's not even going to open the case to allow Reuven to look at Shimon's signature and testify and validate it. No, it's already been validated. So the only thing that Levi can do here in this whole picture is to testify about Reuven, the late Reuven's signature. Well, that's only one aid. We need a second aid, and you can't invite Shimon in. So even though Shimon is willing and screaming and yelling, I know that this roommate signed the shtar. I know his signature inside out. In fact, I remember signing it with him together on this very shtar. No good.
You can always fall back.
Technical foul. Okay, so hold on just for 2 minutes because I want to get this punchline in before we have to dab Meirin. And the Gemara says, Omra Abaye, I have a way out. Lichtov chasimas yode achaspa. Let the live aid sign attach his signature a chaspa. Chaspa is a piece of clay. You imagine you have soft clay before it's solidified, so he could press it in. You know, we used to do this when they would fix the roads, you know, and stuff like that, and then it lasts for forever and ever, you know, make hearts and, you know, all this kind of graffiti. So let him sign his name in sand, okay? V'shadilei b'veidina. And now produce this sand in front of Beis Din and say, I just signed this sand. U'mechazkilei b'veidina. They didn't know that it's his signature. They compare it to the signature of Shimon on the shtar, and everything's well. Is then velotzarich iulas hude achasimus yadei. We no longer require Shimon to testify on his own signature. Is vi azel iu vahai umesadi aidah. Then he can link up with Levi and testify on Reuven's signature, the late Reuven's signature. This is the brilliance of Abai. So the Gemara says, "V'dafka chaspa? What do you need this whole sophisticated signature on sand? You know, on earth? Aval amigilta, the gilt is a cloth. Lo?" And the Gemara says, "No, we're not going to allow Shimon to sign on a cloth. Dilma mishkachle inish delo miley. Maybe some uncouthly guy, some swindler, is going to find this cloth that has Shimon's signature on it." Again, I don't know why they just couldn't burn it up in smoke after they compare signatures, but whatever it is. Because of Iluye my deboy, he'll write on top of this cloth whatever the heck he wants. I signed below, borrowed $1 million from so-and-so. And tonight we have a mission at the end of Bava Basra, Hotzi Ol of Ksav Yodo. If a person produces an IOU, know what we call it, with the signature, some Shuchayavlo, in which he testifies, that I signed below, borrowed $1 million, is Govim ben Chosim ben Chorin. It has the status of testimony, and it can be used against them. So Rabosai, here's the deal: if you sign you attach your signature to a chaspa, nobody can use a chaspa as a shtar. Because a chaspa can always be tampered with. You can play around by melting it down and moving it around and nobody would know the difference. It's an absolute forgery. It's like, you know, Tipex, and then you photocopy the Tipex and there's no shirayim left of the... But if it's on a Megilta, nobody can play around with a Megilta. Because anytime you make a correction on a cloth, that correction is noticeable ad bias go forever and forever. And therefore, signing a megilta, of signing your name on a piece of cloth is very dangerous. So next time you guys are thinking about signing a cloth, be very careful. Think twice about it and remember this gemara. Omar Yudah Meshmul Halacha Kedivrei Chachamim. So Gemara says Pshita Yochid V'Rab Malacha K'Rab. And we always have a rule that we pass on like the majority against the minority. Mal Detem I might think Halacha K'Rebi Michavero. We have a principle that if Rebbe argues with one of his colleagues, we always pass on like Rebbe. V'Afilu and I might think Michaverov. And even if it's more than one Tana, Kamash V'Lan. This is what Rabbi Yehuda wants to teach us in the name of Shmuel. That no, we only pass on like Rebbe against one other Tana. But against the Chachamim, which means the majority, we don't paskin like this. Okay, Rav Osai? We'll stop here. Okay.
Somebody learns in our tongue.